What's up, everyone? It's the Love, the Jam, the podcast. I'm Chapin with you as always, with Rob. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing pretty well, getting over a cold, actually. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I'm on nights now, so my schedule is all sorts of weird, but I'm off today, which is Friday night, which is, I'm celebrating with a podcast and some of the Rockets game and enjoying the Rockets not being able to extend the Warriors to seven games, just like the Clippers couldn't do, except Kevin Durant didn't play today. So that was enjoyable for me. I don't know. My rooting interests were kind of split because I can't stand James Harden, but I like the Clippers on the Rockets. And at the same time, I kind of want the Warriors to just make easy work of the rest of the league. But I think the Bucks – what do you think about the Bucks and the Warriors in the finals?
I think the Bucks should be favored to win the championship right now.
Right? I kind of feel that way too. It's
they
weird.
They look really good.
They look good, right? Good. That's insane. Future champion Eric Bledsoe.
That would be awesome.
It'd be pretty cool.
I mean, Brogdon is just going to get healthier. Giannis just looks
insane. Giannis is a monster. Yeah. And he's hitting threes now and pulling up, like, off the dribble threes.
Yeah, he's insanely good.
Does he have a higher upside than LeBron, even?
If there's anybody who does, it's him.
Yeah.
I'd say, what is he now, like 24? Compared to LeBron at 24? I'd say LeBron was probably a better offensive player in terms of just having a more well-rounded offensive game. But I think Giannis's peripherals might be even better. I mean, LeBron was a much, much better passer and playmaker. But Giannis is, if anything, an even better defensive player just because he's so much bigger. So he's so long.
He's really something to watch. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd even comp him to LeBron because he's so much bigger and the passing and playmaking is just completely different. LeBron was a point forward. Giannis is like a center forward.
There was someone saying, I don't know if it was on The Jump or some national media person that said that Giannis doesn't really have a comp. I could see some Grant Hill and LeBron. When LeBron first came into the league, I thought a little bit of Grant Hill. And Grant Hill, for people that didn't watch him when he was a Piston, he was really good. He was a superstar. And LeBron kind of reminded me of Hill a bit, his early days especially. So I could kind of have seen that comp. With Giannis, it's just like, who do you even compare him to? I feel like body type, you know, he does look a little bit like Kevin Durant a little bit as far as his body type goes, but he's they don't really stronger. Play the same. Yeah.
Durant is just such a special scorer.
Yeah. Chris
Giannis obviously can score, but I mean, he just does so much other stuff. Really. I mean, I think the comp I agree with the most is probably, even though again, they don't look anything alike, is probably Shaq, really.
Man, it's crazy.
In terms of just getting to the basket and finishing around the basket. A lot of the stat lines are actually very similar. He's bananas. He's
going to
be the best player in any series until the finals. And even then, I mean, I think him against Curry and KD would be probably give a slight edge to him. But I mean, the way KD was playing, it's close. But I think Giannis could guard KD better than KD could guard Giannis. So maybe a slight edge to Greek Freak there. The Bucks are really freaking good.
That's going to be so much fun if they get there. And that's a smartly put together team too. It's going to be a lot of fun. I always used to call Durant Ray Allen on stilts. I don't know if that's still kind of if that still kind of applies. He's just such an insane scorer for somebody that's 7 feet tall. But I feel like Durant, you can kind of make some comparisons to. It's just the fact that he's so much longer than you, then like you can never guard him. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I think Durant in a lot of ways is kind of like Dirk, except with ball handling.
Right.
Like, I think there are more comps to KD than to Giannis. Giannis is just
I agree.
Ridiculous. I mean, and the thing is, like, his body transformation has been nuts. Like, he was so skinny when he came to the NBA, and now he's muscular as shit. Like, he just muscles people out of the way. And that does not always happen. Like, he came in the same draft as Otto Porter. And, like, Otto Porter's put on some muscle, but, like, Giannis has bulked the fuck up. Like,
yeah. You hear that, Shay? Get those weights like Doc told you to.
If Shay starts looking like Giannis in 3 or 4 years, like,
Shay just becomes Giannis. Giannis comes to the Clippers.
Honestly, you know what? If Shay was, like, a few, I mean, obviously, like, those 3 or 4 inches make all the difference in the world. But, like, in terms of his ability to get to the rim and finish and just, like, the way they look, like, in some ways I could see him as, like, a several inches shorter Giannis. Like,
you heard it here, folks. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the next Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, the
thing with Giannis is, like, when he came into the NBA, he was, like, 6'9". And then he grew, like, 3 inches over the next
That's true. Like,
I mean, if Shai grows 3 more inches, like, I'm going to be throwing insane comps out the window right and left. Like,
if Shai grows 3 more inches, then we're not trading him for anyone. So,
yeah. I mean, that would be insane. I don't think it's going to happen, but
yeah. Even if he grew a couple more inches, but I think he's probably not going to grow.
But yeah, I completely agree with you on. I did not know how to feel with the Rockets Warriors series. Mm-hmm. I mean, on one hand, I thought, like, you know, I wrote about this. The Warriors kicking the crap out of everybody else makes the Clippers look better. At the same time, like, it's the Warriors. Like, I don't want them to win again. Like, you know. But Harden just sucks to watch.
I just can't stand Harden. I think my hatred for Harden transcends any other feelings I have for this series.
I think I honestly probably ended up rooting for the Warriors.
It's pretty crazy. And I kind of rooted for them last year, too, which feels weird, but...
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm happy Austin had a really good series.
Yeah.
Chris Paul went out on a high note. This was his best game of the playoffs. Yeah. But he has looked rough.
Chris is done, man.
He's done as an all-star level player.
Yeah. He can be just a role guy. I think DJ Foster put out a nice piece on The Ringer about Chris Paul's last opportunity to really mean something at like a star level in a major series. And this was probably it. And that's so sad, especially as a Clipper fan, this probably his last chance to really, and he was giving it to them too. Even in the start of the fourth quarter and the end of the third, he was giving it to them. They were up by 7.
Yeah. And the Gerald Green minutes came.
And then they play Gerald Green and Steph is just
incredible.
I really think that people don't realize just how good Steph Curry is. He is a transcendent, not even close best shooter in the league and good at everything else, really. He's really an underrated, he is really good around the rim. He's like almost as good around the rim as most guards in the league. He's just really crafty. He gets his angles. He's a great scorer, and I think people forget about that because he's the best shooter of all time, but he's also just a great scorer, and
he's a really good passer. He's a solid defender. He's a really good rebounder for his size. He's an all-time player.
All right. That's enough about these guys. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the Clippers. The Warriors are going to be in the finals most likely, and they're probably going to play the Bucks, and that's going to be a great series. And we'll talk about that more as we go along. But we do want to talk about the Los Angeles Clippers, the 2018-2019 Clipper team. I think this pod is just going to be kind of talking about that team. Some of the games that we had, we'll probably talk about the players a bit, but I figure we're probably going to spend some time in the future also talking about them more in depth, especially some of our favorite guys. But we'll touch on them a bit as we go through these games. I think we're going to go month by month and just talk a little bit about our favorite games each month. And as you guys know, we've been following this team pretty closely. We've been doing a podcast about them. So let's talk about October really quick. So October, just looking at the games, best game might have been, what was it? Was it the Rockets wins?
I'd say so, yeah. First Rockets win, I think.
The first Rockets win was that close 115-112.
Well, the second one was at Houston, actually.
That was a blowout.
Yeah.
That was the one where I think it was just Paul, and the first one was just Harden, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those were great games. Harrell had 30 points in that second blowout, in that blowout win. That was a really fun win. And that's when we kind of puff out our chest because we knew we weren't playing the Houston again for a very long time. And this was when Houston was trash, like a pretty bad.
It was so bad to start the year. So bad.
Yeah. Which game do you want to talk about?
We could talk about, let's talk about the Houston blowout in Houston.
Yeah. So just looking at this box score, this was a long time ago, but this was a really fun win. The Clippers kind of got some space in that second quarter. This was a really good Montrezl Harrell game. Yep. When Harrell kind of gave it to him, 30 points, 6 boards, 8 of 13 from the field. And Lou, of course, this was a Lou Harrell classic game. And they were great. Avery Bradley, Clipper great, 6 for 10 from the field, 14 points.
One of his best games of the season.
Yeah, one of his best games of the season, sadly. And really the team in general, all the guys that you expected to play well. Pat Bev didn't play very well. But Shea had 10 points. This was the early era Shea when he was coming off the bench. Trez and Lou both played well. Gallo and Tobias didn't play great, but they played all right. What do you think about this? This team felt like so long ago.
It does. I mean, seeing that, like, Milos played 17 minutes, holy shit.
And played really – this is probably – was this maybe Milos' best game of the season? It
absolutely was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This was a good Milos. I remember this Milos game. He kind of set the tone really well.
Yeah, he hit a couple of those pull-up threes. Mm-hmm. He was great in this game. This was Shea off the bench. This is a completely different era. This game was really good because I think it portended this Clipper season in two ways. You know, one, not the Clipper season. One, the Rockets were bad. They were really bad in this game. Chris Paul and Eric Gordon both stunk. They missed like a million shots.
Yeah.
Well, they combined to go 6 for 27, which is horrid. 1 for 8 from three. Their bench was just a nightmare. Like, they played Gerald Green the most minutes off the bench. Gerald Green sucks.
He's bad.
Michael Carter-Williams on their team. Like,
oh my gosh.
From this game and the first game the Clippers played, the Rockets' depth was just atrocious to start the year. They were starting Melo. They had nobody. I mean, Harden was injured in this game, but their roster was a train wreck. And, like, you know, it speaks to what Morey was able to do, that he was able to correct that and get them to this, you know, to game 6 against the Warriors in the second round and really push them through all 6 games.
Yeah. But,
like, their roster was devastated over the summer. And, like, people talk about losing Ariza and Luke, but, like, they also just picked up horrible guys. But anyway, I mean, it portended that. But also for the Clippers, it was the Lou Trez show, like you mentioned. And that's really what it was most of the season. I mean, Lou's assists weren't great in this one, but, you know, just had a classic Lou line where he had 23 points on 9 shots, you know, got to the line, hit a couple threes, dished it out from all over the court, and he and Trez just destroyed the Rockets in this game. You know, they had no answer. Again, it was the Rockets' atrocious bench against the Clippers' really good one, and even though the Rockets tried staggering their starters, it just wasn't enough. This game was really, I think the Lou-Trez combo had been good in previous games, but if I remember correctly, this was kind of like the breakout game for them.
Yeah, and Trez was doing his hot-cold free throw type of thing, and he had 14 for 15. I think he went on a good streak around this time before hitting it kind of cold for a little bit of time. I remember this is one of the emptiest – this was a classic empty stats Carmelo game where he had 24 – points, but he just was a garbage player, and I was just like, he is a garbage player, and they need to get rid of him, and they did, and they played much better without him. But as far as the Clippers go, Lou and Trez were great. This was just such a different team. It's pretty crazy to look at the different incarnations of this team. Bev was not the best this game either, but must have been.
It's so hard to remember, but like at the start of the season, before he got injured briefly, like, he was really bad.
And he wasn't good. He was shooting like crap, too.
And he was benched for Shea.
Yeah. And,
like, you know, when he came back, I think most fans still thought he was better than Bradley. But, like, there was a legitimate argument to bench Beverly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as the season went along and he got better and Bradley stayed just as awful or got worse.
Yeah.
You know, people obviously started calling for him to start, but like, he was very bad to start the year. And, you know, you could see that from this game, as well as the Gortat just not doing anything.
Yeah. Chris Paul looked really cooked this game. I remember watching this game and being like,
couldn't create any separation.
He looked really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a fun game. I think we can kind of go off of that. I mean, aside from that, in October, there were some other fun wins. I mean, the Oklahoma City win was kind of cool, but Westbrook wasn't playing in that game. The Wizards blowout was just
back when people thought the Wizards would still be decent. Yeah,
right, right. That was a fun game, but it was kind of overshadowed by the fact that we lost one of our worst games in Washington later in the season, not that far later. November. So in November, let's see.
There were some good ones.
There were some really good wins. That was the 5-game win streak that included the Milwaukee win, the Golden State win, the San Antonio win, the great
Guess Atlanta. Guess who was out for all of those games? Guess who was out for all of those games?
I don't know. Who could it be? Our best player, our unstatable player, maybe? I don't know. He's terrible.
Avery Adley, yeah.
Badbury Bradley, yeah.
Oh, man. I think which of these wins was the best? I mean, there were so many good ones in this. 3 overtime wins in this month.
I mean, I kind of lean, maybe. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. I think the Milwaukee game was pretty great. The Golden State game was great, but we should have put that game away. So it was kind of frustrating at the end.
Yeah.
But the resolve to actually win that game after being down in the overtime, even though I don't think Steph didn't play that game, but that was still a great win. I think the Milwaukee game was even more awesome. That game also felt like they should have put that game away to an extent. Eric Bledsoe hit that really fluky 3-pointer to tie the game. Mm-hmm. And the team, Lou Williams, with the game winner. That was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, one last thing about the Golden State game. That's the one where Draymond and KD got pissed at each other.
Right, right, right.
And, like, that was all caused by the drama in that game. But, yeah, we can talk about the Milwaukee game because I remember that one being really, really good.
Was the Milwaukee game Shea's second start?
Yeah, because Bradley had just missed. That was his second game missed.
Mm-hmm. This was a nice Shea game.
It was one of his best ones of the early season. 16 points on 13 shots. He had 2 threes. I think this is his first game making multiple threes.
Mm-hmm.
6 rebounds, 4 assists. He had some nice blocks. Yeah, he had three
blocks.
I remember. I think he had one on a Bledsoe layup. I think, if I remember correctly, like a really nice, satisfying swat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played great against the Bucks the second time too.
He did. Yeah, that was his great third quarter against the Bucks.
Yeah, but I remember this one because he played 40 minutes.
Man.
And this was back when, like, people were still a little scared of Doc not playing, you know, rookies. And he played 40 minutes, and people were just like, wow. You know, Doc is really showing trust in him, but he was great. He was really, really good. The other thing I remember about this game randomly is I remember Mike Scott hitting some big threes.
Yeah. He's
3 for 7.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good Mike Scott game.
And this was a good Mike Scott stretch, I feel like.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just tend to remember that more than the down stretches just because I love Mike Scott so much.
I love Mike Scott. And he was a good Clipper, man. He shot a pretty respectable 3-point percentage. Like, he wasn't bad. He had a kind of a cold stretch, but he still shot generally well. Tobias Harris had a nice game this game.
Yeah.
20 and 11. Lou was okay. Trez was great.
This is a great Pat Beverly game, too.
This was a great Pat Beverly game. Yeah. 5 of 8 from 3. And, another big thing.
The Clippers just played really well in this game. This was like...
This is one of their better games this season.
I think. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It might be, honestly, the... Actually, it wasn't the best win, but it's up there. But, I mean, this was the early season when they were rolling. And, like, a lot of that had to do with Bradley going out.
Yeah,
I will never stop shitting on him ever.
Bucks were totally healthy for this game too.
Yeah, Milwaukee played well too. It's not like they shot the bed. I mean, Giannis was everywhere.
Everywhere.
And just insane.
Giannis, like near the end, I want to say of the fourth quarter, he had like a steal where he just got a steal from midcourt and just seemed to take like four steps.
Yep, I remember that.
And that was insane. Yeah. I was like, this guy is a monster. Like, who's ever going to stop this guy? He was
that line from this game is he had 27 points, 18 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals, and 2 blocks. Like, what?
I didn't even feel it either. I don't even when the game ended, I thought that he didn't play that well. And he did.
No.
He's so good. Is he the best player in the league, Giannis?
I think so. Yeah. Man. Like this is a game like the Bucks just kept hitting shots. Brooke Lopez was going crazy.
Oh, Lopez hit like a bunch of shots in a row and Gortat.
He kept starting going farther and farther back and Gortat couldn't cover him.
Yeah, even Boban very briefly was in the game and couldn't cover him. And it was, he was so good this game. He had so many, I think it was the third quarter. We had like 3 threes in a row or something.
Yep, and the Bucks bench was going crazy. Was Splash Mountain coined after this game? It was right around this time.
It was right around this time. He is absolutely Splash Mountain.
Yeah, it's incredible. What a great nickname. But yeah, I was really impressed by the Bucks in this game because the Clippers played great and they were at home and they pulled it out. But the Bucks were matching them. Like every time the Clippers would hit a shot, the Bucks would hit a shot. Yeah, I mean their starting lineup. Every player in their starting lineup played well in this game. Brogdon and Bledsoe were cold from three, but like they played really well. Yeah, their bench was also very different at this part of the season because this is before they traded for Hill. Or Mirotić.
What a nice pickup. Those two are really good pickups.
Yeah, they've been huge. But yeah, I mean, I thought the Bucks played well, and I was like, wow, the Bucks are really legit, even though they lost this game.
I felt
the Bucks are really legit.
Yeah, I kind of thought, you know, I sided with the Raptors still in the East until like the very end. Maybe because I think I was slightly trying to reverse jinx Kawhi. But it's really hard to argue against the Bucks winning the East right now. I'd be surprised if they didn't. But they're really, really good. And this was a really fun game. Yeah. That Williams shot was really hard, by the way. That was a tough running, like going to his right and just fading and like double clutch. It was a hard shot.
Yeah, Lou has hit some insane shots this year. But I mean this is a classic Lou Williams playmaking game because I think the Bucks tried trapping him, maybe. I remember correctly. He had 10 assists. I'm trying to think what exactly they did, but they played him really aggressively, and he was 5-15, but he kept passing. Like, he didn't force shots. And something that people always think of Lou as a gunner, and there are games when he just takes way too many shots.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, he's actually good at recognizing that it's either not his night or it's like he's being defended in a way that he needs to pass. And I remember this one, he just kept feeding Trez over and over again for easy dunks. And yeah, Trez 26 points on 9 of 12 shooting. This is when Trez looked like a lock for most improved player too. Siakam had his breakout and also D'Angelo Russell. He at this point in the year, he was like the front runner for most improved player because he was just dunking everything. And still hitting his free throws too, 8 for 11 in this one. Yeah, this is a really fun game. I remember just the teams going back and forth, lots of great shots. Like you mentioned, a good Tobias Harris game. This is also the part of the season when Tobias was hitting the glass really hard. He had 11 rebounds.
Yeah.
Because remember, the first part of the season, he was putting up a double-double like every single night.
Yeah.
I think he averaged like 9 rebounds a game through November. He played really, really well. Kind of a cold Gallo game, but they were able to get over it. So, yeah, I mean, I thought this is a very representative game of, like, how good the Clippers were through the early part of the season. Because the Bucks played well. The Clippers were just better. And it's crazy. Even this team, it's like, you know, there was no Tato such minutes in this one. So the rotation's starting to look a little bit more similar to how it would later, but, like, I mean, Tobias played 37 minutes. He was such a workhorse earlier in the season. They really relied on him. And, yeah, Mike Scott, I miss Mike Scott.
I do, too.
Beloved Ty Wallace minutes, 13 of them.
Ty Wallace Island over there.
Yeah, forever. but, yeah, this was a great win. And you could also see in this game, that the Bucks bench was not great. Like DiVincenzo, I remember got cooked by Lou a couple times.
Yep.
Like I'm not sure if he fell over on one of them, but he just went completely the wrong way.
And, yeah, DiVincenzo was not a great rotation player for the Bucks.
No. I mean, for a rookie, he wasn't awful, but like, I mean, for the caliber of team that they are, they needed more.
I remember Henson surprised me with a couple of corner threes. Yeah, and I was like, yep. What?
Two of them.
Yeah.
Him and Brook Lopez, I just had no idea what was happening.
The Splash Brothers.
But yeah, this is also another game that really drove home that like the Clippers could not rely on Gortat and Boban.
No.
To guard centers out on the perimeter. Like they just could not get out to those guys for three.
Yeah.
And I mean the fact that Henson and Lopez hit eight threes, it's crazy the Clippers won this game.
Yeah. Crazy. This was a memorable month, so I'm just gonna kinda roll off a couple of the other highlights. The game in Portland was Shea's coming out game. That was that great Hezzy move that he had to going to the for that dunk where he pulled back and then spun over and then had that awesome dunk.
That was that long ago.
That was so long ago. Jeez, but I've watched those highlights every night and to go to sleep too. So yeah, the Milwaukee game, of course, the Golden State game. I'm going to talk a lot about Shea because I love Shea, but he had two threes in that Golden State game to close, and that was pretty awesome. The Warriors went up by like three or something that overtime. And the Clippers managed to hold on. That was a fun game. That was another Trez Lou game, if I'm recalling correctly. San Antonio, Lou Williams hit that big three-pointer to put that game away. The Brooklyn and Atlanta games were when the Clippers were kind of feeling themselves and went down to both those teams.
Yep.
And kind of played down to them and then came back. The Atlanta game was a Mike Scott game, his best game of the season, where he had some huge threes.
That was so cool. He had awesome six threes. Yeah.
He was awesome. He started for Gallo that game. It was a Gallo rest game. The Memphis game, which I went to, was when the Clippers were down eight with like a minute left and won. Gallo hit the three free throws to close. And that was when Memphis had the best record in the league, in the West. They briefly had the best record in the West.
That feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was when Memphis was kind of this weird team that was somehow like winning the West, and then the Clippers won. I think they got the best record in the West for
that game. At the end of November, they were 15-6. They were leading the West.
Yep, at Portland. I can't even remember that game at Portland that they won, but they Harris won that went game. Off. That was the Harris game.
I don't know if anyone, Harkless, one of them were out, but he was just bullying them everywhere.
Oh, that was Tobias had 34-11. Oh,
yeah, boy. He just destroyed them in that one.
He was great. Lou sucked that game, but it looks like Tobias carried us to a great win. And those are November was really a great fun month. The game also at Sacramento was at that game. You were at that game, and that was when
Tobias also went off.
Tobias went off. Shea outplayed Fox or played him to pretty much a standstill. And another good game. Avery Bradley.
Was incredible.
Avery Bradley, 4-for-7 from three.
When you look at the schedule, like this was a hard schedule.
It was.
Like, November, their record in November is what got them into the playoffs.
Yep.
Because like they won at Orlando against Minnesota, you know, Milwaukee, Golden State, San Antonio, at Brooklyn. Like Brooklyn was still not great then, but like they ended up being good. At Brooklyn, Memphis when they were good, at Portland, at Sacramento. Like those are really tough games and they won all of them.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's how they got into the playoffs. They were 15-6 at the end of November. And people were like, are the Clippers legitimately this good? And it was like, not quite. But they ended up being pretty good, though, with a much different team.
We learned that they weren't quite that good pretty quickly into December. December was a bad stretch.
We should probably talk about a loss here. One of the games we go into this month should probably be a loss.
The Miami game was probably Yeah, that was in December, December 8th.
Oh, yeah.
That was maybe the worst.
Is that the zone game?
That was a zone game. That was maybe the worst loss of the season.
I agree, except for the Lakers game.
Except for the Lakers game, which we'll have a whole podcast on. We already had a whole podcast on.
We're going to have another one.
Oh, my gosh. It was pretty bad. The New Orleans
game. Look that up. Yeah, I'm trying to.
The New Orleans game was a nice win that they were up the whole game, and the New Orleans kind of came back. That was when New Orleans – still had some horses. Mm-hmm. What else? I mean, really, there weren't that many great wins. The Denver win was great. That was another nice one. That was another nice Shea move. I think that was the Shea Rondo fake to the rim game. Mm. That was when Jokic got tossed for arguing in the third quarter.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
There was that close loss to Golden State.
Right after, yeah.
KD took over.
That was the 18 for 22 from three game, I think, for the Clippers. Yeah.
They could not miss.
Couldn't miss, but still, the Warriors won that game, foreshadowing to a fun series later on. Mm-hmm. The game at the Lakers was a fun win. That was when Lou Williams did the guitar, the Len Stevenson guitar, after one of his three. He was cooking the Lakers that game. Yeah. But there were a lot of just bad losses. The San Antonio loss was also really bad, where they got blown out in the third quarter in a close game. That was
I was at that one too.
That was a bad loss too.
Yeah, Aldridge just went off, and
yeah,
I remember that game because the Clippers were arguing about how they should cover him. Was that the game that they started Boban? Was it that game?
Yeah, I think it was that game.
Yeah, they started Boban. He was horrible, mm-hmm. and they benched him right away. Yep.
That was such a bad decision. Oh, man. But, yeah.
I remember after the game, Doc was like, yeah, like, we didn't think he would do well, but, like, we just wanted to see how he would do.
No, so bad. That was a bad decision. Anyways.
Yeah, it was questionable.
Yeah. And really, January wasn't that much better to start.
No.
This was when the Clippers very briefly looked like they weren't going to make the playoffs, pretty much, around the middle of January.
They had five losses in a row. Yeah.
Some bad losses at Denver versus Detroit was a really bad loss. I was watching that on the way to the airport on my phone. Is that the
Blake 45-point game?
That was the 45-point game where Blake didn't give Steve Ballmer a handshake, and that was when Ty Wallace, as one of the Ty Wallace Island's best games. That was that fourth quarter where Ty like hit like six shots or like three shots in a row and kind of brought the team back into it, and the game was tied, I want to say, at like 87 or something all, and then things just kind of went south. That was a bad loss. All the Utah games, we just feel it's like Utah just had our number. I'm glad we didn't face them in the playoffs.
They have for years, ever since that playoff series.
Yeah, after we kind of owned them during the Chris Paul era, they kind of came back to us pretty hard. Golden State blew us out with ease. The win in San Antonio was a turning point. That was a game with just Tobias. I want to say Lou was out. And Gallo was also out. Tobias, this was probably my favorite Tobias game. This was when he almost had that triple-double.
He looked so good. This was peak all-star Tobias buzz.
Yep. 27-9-9. And just really just really was a great leader this game. We started Montrezl Harrell this game. Shea played and didn't shoot well, but I thought was all right.
He played well, yeah.
Yeah, Bev was great. This was like what we'll remember Bev for. 18, 12 boards, five assists. This was one of his turning point games. 4-7 from three. I don't think he was really shooting that well up until this point, but this was kind of what changed his season a bit.
This mid to late January, when you look at the schedule and the game logs, Beverly starts leading the Clippers in rebounding like every other game.
Yeah. This is when Bev kind of turned it on, right around this era of the Clippers. 2018.
I think his knee was probably starting to feel healthy. This is kind of a weird month because they started off looking decent against pretty soft schedule, to be fair.
Against bad teams, yeah.
And then lost a bunch of games and then turned things around against bad teams and then lost a couple. It's a very up and down month. But clearly, this is when the starting lineup just went to absolute shit. Mm-hmm. And they just were losing. They were down every single night. I remember those Miami and Chicago wins. Like, the starting lineup stunk, and Lou and Trez had to bring them back. Like, that Chicago win.
It was one of the worst games that we've ever seen in our lives.
Of basketball. Not even the NBA, just of basketball.
Basketball. Like, I've watched the Anteaters, like, play better games. It was really bad.
And Lou was just like, I'm not letting this team lose.
Yeah,
Lou was a triple double and one off, and nobody else in the Clippers did like anything.
Patrick Beverley had that really nice like fake that when he went to the rim and kind of sealed the game. Yeah.
Yeah, and he made somebody fall over who was
I forgot who it was. I'm just assuming that it was the
Stun dude. Or Zali?
I don't know. Could have been. I don't know.
I think it might have been Dunn, but yeah. The Clippers starting lineup was just horrible. At this point, Gortat was not giving them anything. Bradley was looking like slightly better than he had in December, but still wasn't really contributing much outside of like an occasional jumper. Harris had fallen off a little since his hot start. Gallo was still playing pretty well, but it was just not working.
That was a really frustrating time for Shea. He wasn't playing the greatest, and two, he was just not getting minutes. And Bradley...
that was January. January was Shea's worst month.
Yeah, that was rough.
A month to forget for Clippers fans probably because of that. But January was very weird. I don't know if there are any particular games to really highlight.
Aside from that San Antonio game.
Yeah, the San Antonio game was just a really good Tobias Harris game. Probably one of the ones I'll remember from him for a while. But, I mean, when you look back, like, when you think about up until February when, you know, the Tobias trade happened, like, he was really good. I mean, I think Gallo, on the whole, was probably better because he's better defensively and I think was a little bit more consistent. Like, Tobias is really, really good. Like, he was getting all-star buzz for a reason. I know he hasn't had, like, a great playoffs, but he's really good. I just don't know if the Philly situation is, like... I just don't know if he's a fourth option type guy because he needs to get shots and looks to be in a rhythm. And, like, their spacing is all screwed up. I just don't know. But he was really good for a lot of the season. He's tailed off a little in January, efficiency wise, I think. But he really took over in scoring, and it was a good month. There'll be lots of games from Tobias that Clippers fans will remember him by.
Definitely.
February was when the season turned around for two different reasons. One, they had those comeback wins, three of them in a week.
Yep.
There was the Detroit comeback win when they looked absolutely atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Just horrible. What was it, like 25 points down?
They were down 25, yeah.
Yeah, and came back to win. That was
They were down 25 in the third.
Lou Williams, like, barbecued and sautéed the Pistons.
Yep. And Shea was really good to start that comeback. Yeah.
And then Lou just...
finish him off.
Absolutely unstoppable. One of Lou's best games ever, I think. Mm-hmm. And then the Charlotte comeback, which is a little bit hazier for me, just because for whatever reason I thought they would come back in that game. Like, I'm not sure why, but that was Tobias, and that was Tobias's last game as a Clipper, and he was great. He hit that running shot.
Game winner.
To win the game, basically. 34 points. Great game for him to go out on. And then the skeleton crew got destroyed at Indiana. Jonathan Motley played significant minutes. And then, of course, we come to the February 9th game, the grand debut of Shamit and Zubats. And I don't, was Temple?
Temple.
Temple played in that game, yeah.
Temple played, Green played too.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we'll all remember the Landry Shamit threes in that game.
This is probably my favorite regular season game of the year. This was so much fun. Seeing Shamit, like, for the first time and really feeling all those Redick comparisons and seeing him move, like, seeing them run J.J. Redick plays for him just off the bat and seeing him hit those shots in the fourth quarter, I was really excited. This was a really exciting game. And this was – if I had to pick a favorite, and this wasn't the best Clipper game. They didn't play their best basketball or anything like that. But just for the new era of the team and initially thinking that they were going to tank after they traded Tobias, but then they made all these other moves that made the team almost seem better, and they were better. And then seeing this game really bring them all together, except for Green, who wasn't great this game, but
eventually did. This game.
He wasn't good. He wasn't that great. But I knew that he kind of had a place on the team. Mm-hmm. He could have had a place, and he did. This was just a fun game. This was like probably my favorite game of the season, regular.
Yeah, Shamit's shots were just like eye opening, even just from one game. It was just
Like,
good God, this guy can shoot.
Seriously.
And then the next game at Minnesota was super fun because Lou had, is that his career high, 45 points?
He had a 50-point game against the Warriors.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
But this was his season high, yeah.
Yeah, it was his season high. And he was unstoppable, but they could not do anything with Towns.
I thought they were going to win this game because they came back and they almost tied it in the fourth, I believe. Lou missed a big shot that was like a mid-range shot that he missed and kind of – I think he might have got a foul or something or the other that kind of shifted momentum. And, yeah, he was great though, 45 points. He shot really well and he seemed unstoppable. But
yeah, and then the Clippers were only 3-2 to end the month and their wins were only against bad teams. But they're definitely – their plays seem to be getting better, at least compared to January. Again, this was a lot of Lou and Trez and, with some help from Beverly. But they definitely seem to be figuring things out. This was, again, like – they were only four games above 500 at this point after the loss to Minnesota, which I think they were still in the eighth seed. But it was close.
It was close.
This is like when Minnesota was still in the playoff race, the Lakers were still in the playoff race, like the Kings, and then slowly they started getting separation. But were there any other games you want to talk about in February?
When the Lakers beat the Clippers in January to end January, I thought the Lakers were going to make the playoffs and the Clippers weren't. I remember Tobias hit a shot that I think a three that tied that game, and then it went to overtime. LeBron didn't seem right still, but I was just thinking like, man, this Laker team is. They still have LeBron James. They're going to make the playoffs. It's going to be hard to make the playoffs, yada, yada. I was kind of high on the Kings, too. So I was still kind of skeptical. And it kind of took March to really convince me, like, how good this team was.
Mark was so, so good.
Mark was incredible. They pretty much just ran through
the schedule.
And they – did they get any Coach of the Month, Player of the Month honors in March?
No.
They should have.
Who won Coach of the Month for West?
I don't know, because the Clippers would have had a really good argument. I think they did. The Clippers.
No, wasn't Stotts?
Was it? I don't know. Because
Nurkic got injured, or was that later?
I don't know, but it wasn't the Clippers. I know the Clippers did for their earlier in December or something. They went to Tobias and Doc, I think, both got it. But I don't know. I'd have to look it up. No, it wasn't December. It was in November, I think. But, yeah. I don't know who won Coach of the Month this month. But you would have thought it would have been Doc.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it out right now. So, Stotts won for February. Yep, no, Stotts won for March and April. Yep.
Wow.
Because they did it for March and April. So, people were biased by
going out
and them still winning. Yeah.
I see. That makes sense. And the Clippers sucked in April, so.
Yeah. God damn it.
I know, right? But, I mean, as far as March goes, it's just a slew of great wins.
The Boston game. Oh, my God, that Boston game.
The Boston game, which is a complete massacre. It's probably the last really good – honestly, it was probably the last really great game the Clippers had.
The last great game they played, period, until game five against the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, and you know that I think I would agree with that. We were kind of saying during the pod that even though they had a great run to end through March, they didn't really play great after that Boston game. They just kind of played well enough to beat mediocre teams, and they lost to the Bucks pretty convincingly. They lost to the Blazers pretty convincingly. The Jazz, they lost that game. I mean, that was in February, but they lost the games that, you know, they thought they would lose. The Rockets game was just awful.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then the Lakers, which was the worst loss of the season. But that Boston game was great in March. What else? What other games really stuck out? I mean, the Brooklyn game winner was great.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of my favorite games of the season just because of that. And, I mean, Brooklyn was solid. I mean, they were a good team. So it was a solid win.
They almost threw that game away. I think they were up by 10.
Yeah, because Russell was cooking.
Yep.
And they couldn't stop him. And Brooklyn was making a push in the late fourth quarter. And the Clippers were just barely hanging ahead. And then Lou hit that three.
Did they have a 5-second violation on Gallo in that game?
It's possible.
I feel like they did. Ugh.
I think my only lasting memory of that game will be Lou's game winner.
That's good. That's probably the healthier way to go.
Yeah.
aside from that, I mean, they barely won in Cleveland. The New York game, Lou did his thing and just beat a crappy team like he always does.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just like some very, it's like a very soft schedule.
Yeah, it was just like they were just beating bad teams, really. They fattened up and they were able to win. But I mean, they needed to win these games. They needed to, and they did. So kudos to them.
Yeah. You know,
they were professional, they were competent, and they won out and won these games. They weren't playing great basketball, but they won, and that's what they needed to do to make the playoffs. I mean, in the end, they had more cushion than that, because, I mean, the Kings finished with, what, like 41 or 42 wins?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so I mean, they ended up with, like, a seven-game cushion, but, like, they didn't know that at the time. I mean, certainly, I don't know exactly what the standings were, but that March 1 game against the Kings was huge. They were only,
it was.
They were like a game or two up on the Kings at the time.
Maybe. Yeah, it was close for sure.
I think that game pushed it to three.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, there's still plenty of time for the Kings to come back, and they just kind of stagnated.
I mean, the Kings, that Kings, the rookie, I'm forgetting his name right now, but he's really good. Bagley got injured the game before, I want to say.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then the Kings just kind of stagnated and, you know, it's all right. They're going to be pretty good. As far as April goes, there weren't really any memorable wins. There was a memorable play-by-play against the Jazz in a game neither team cared for. So,
yeah, I mean, the Clippers, yeah, I mean, they just did not end the season great.
No.
Which, you know, I think Zubats played fairly well for a lot of this. You know, but a lot of their playoff issues could be seen coming into this. Like, they just could not play defense in most of these games. Like, when you just look down the box score, they scored over 110 points in every single one of these games.
Yeah.
But they gave up over 110 in a bunch of them as well.
All of them.
Their defense was just not there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the playoffs, actually, their offense was mostly the issue against the Warriors. Their defense, I thought, it was actually pretty good, right? As good as it could be against the Warriors. But, yeah, I mean, they were just not playing super great basketball. But, I mean, they were winning games, so it didn't matter. And I think this stretch is probably what will win Lou Williams. I mean, he should have won anyway, but Lou Williams will win Sixth Man of the Year. He's scored a lot of points down the stretch, and he single-handedly beat a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that's it. I mean, if I had to say my favorite game of the regular season, I'd agree. It was the Boston comeback.
Mm-hmm.
The Milwaukee win in November was great.
Mm-hmm.
That Golden State win in November was also great. Lou's game winner was awesome. And I think the other win against the Pistons, the other comeback, I think those would probably be my top five games of the season, of the regular season.
Yeah, more or less I would agree. I think the Golden State win, the Milwaukee win, the Boston win are all top three. I mean, the Charlotte win was a lot of fun too. And the Pistons win. I mean, aside from that, there was just a lot of memorable moments. This was just a really great season.
I mean, there were really only a couple bad losses.
Yeah, really. The Miami loss, the Washington loss, and the Lakers loss.
Yep, that's it.
That's pretty much it, really. And I guess
When you just look at the entire schedule and you just look at which games they lost to, almost none of them were against bad teams or in games they should have won.
Yeah.
Like the Minnesota loss, like, you know, but like really outside of that, I mean, they lost the one at home to Atlanta, but
Atlanta's good, man.
Yeah. Atlanta sneakily was not bad for the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. When Trae Young started playing well.
Yeah.
The loss at Dallas was pretty bad.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That was the one without Luka and DeAndre, like, closed it.
That was a bad loss. That was pretty bad. But, like, they literally only had three or four bad losses the entire season.
Yeah, like, so it's
five.
It's hard to get too bitter about their standings in the playoffs when you kind of look at it that way. But, of course, we'll remember that Laker loss a bit as being fairly decisive. And, honestly, they ended up playing the Warriors, and they gave them six games.
As many as the Rockets.
as many as the Rockets. It really, I mean, maybe we could have beaten the Blazers or the Nuggets, or maybe we would have lost. You're like,
I don't know if they beat them. I think those teams are better than the Clippers.
I agree. And I think that's what we were kind of telling ourselves. Like, I don't think they beat those teams. So
I just think Lillard and Jokic are too good. Like,
Lillard has cucked us, and McCollum beat us pretty profusely in one of our late season games.
And Jokic just cooked this team for like time eternal. Like,
yeah,
they're both way better than anybody on the Clippers and really bad matchups. I don't, I mean, I think they would have had chances to win those series. They had zero chance to beat the Warriors, just zero. They would have had a chance to beat either of those teams. But honestly, I'm not sure if they win more than two games against either of those teams either. Right. Maybe, you know, they might have gone seven against the Nuggets because the Nuggets have been so inconsistent. Right. Like, maybe they take the Nuggets to seven, but I do not think they win a game seven in Denver.
I agree.
I don't think, like, maybe they push the Nuggets to seven. But, like, honestly, Warriors to six against Nuggets in seven, I'd rather push the Warriors to six.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the game two, as we've discussed, you know, the game two comeback, I would not trade for almost anything.
Yeah, seriously.
But game five was just such an awesome win, just front to back, just the best game of basketball this team played all season, just firing at absolute cylinders on all levels, an incredible game. And
I really,
having watched the Blazers and Nuggets for, you know, extra six games now against each other, I don't think they're quite at either of those teams' levels.
I agree.
Like, they're just a little bit worse. Now, I do think they could have beaten some of the other teams in the playoffs, but, like, they were never going to play the Thunder. I mean, the Thunder were only, like, a game ahead of them in the standings. Same with the Spurs. Like, I think they could have beaten either of those teams, but those matchups were just never going to happen, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, I think they have to be fine with the result. Like, they weren't going to beat the Rockets. I don't think they were going to beat the Nuggets or Blazers, so, you know. It is what it is, and I think the Warriors are going to smoke either the Blazers or the Nuggets. As good as those teams are, and they're both pretty good, I don't think either of those teams can push the Warriors to more than five.
Yep, I agree with that. I think either of those series will go five. We'll see. I wonder when Durant will come back. Maybe they'll
and
give
how it'll look.
Teams,
yeah.
And how it'll look. Maybe they'll give those teams another game. But the Warriors are just...
This looked like a Steph Curry breakout game. The second half of this game. And, like, if he's back to regular, and apparently DeMarcus Cousins is going to be back.
Is that real?
Mark Stein just tweeted it, actually.
Oh, wow. That's legit. Just
40 minutes ago.
He's coming back for the next series to start?
If he maintains his recent progress, is on course to make a return to the Warriors' active roster during Western Conference Finals. So sometime during
it. Crazy. Wow. I can't believe that. Oh.
I mean, will he be that helpful? He'd be helpful against the Nuggets, I think.
I mean, he would be. He would be against the Nuggets. And
I don't think he can't be on the court against Dame.
Yeah,
because Dame would just destroy
him. Even then, he's just another body to play. Even if he plays 10 to 15,
he's a help. He'll help. But I mean, he could legitimately be very useful against the Nuggets, I think.
Yeah, I think the Nuggets are going to win that series, but we'll see.
Yeah, But yeah, I mean, I think if KD's back by like game two. Or even three. I mean, I think the Warriors win in five because, I mean, I think they recognize how good the East teams are and will be trying to get as much rest as possible. Because, like, I think the Bucks will come out of the East, but, like, both the Raptors and Sixers look very good. Better than either the Nuggets or the Blazers by far.
Agreed.
I mean, Kawhi is just absolutely incredible right now. And when Joel Embiid is healthy, the Sixers look great. I mean,
is he ever going to be healthy? Now he's just getting over like a stomach bug or a respiratory.
I just don't know with him. I mean, that's the thing with him is, you know, as amazing as he is, like he's literally on a Hall of Fame trajectory if he stays healthy. Like he's going to be, if he stays healthy for like another 10 years, he's going to be one of the best centers ever. It's like, can he stay healthy though?
It's not even his like body. He's just like not feeling well. Like it's just
he had a stomach bug. I don't know, but like, I mean, if he's healthy in Game Seven, I think they beat the Raptors.
And I hope they beat the Raptors, man.
I hope so too. Both for the Clippers' sake, And also just because Embiid against Giannis in the playoffs will just be epic. I think more epic than Raptors Bucks would be.
I would love to see Kawhi try Giannis, though, defensively. Or even Siakam. Siakam and Giannis have similar body types.
Yeah. Giannis is just bigger, though. He's just bigger than everybody.
Yeah, he's such a beast.
Yeah, I think Bucks-Sixers would be a little more fun. Either your series is going to be great. I think the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be epic.
It's going to be awesome.
I do not think the Western Conference Finals. I think it'll be mostly a slaughter. I don't have too much else to say about the season. It was a great season. Like, we just ran through it, and, like, you know, there were a bunch of really great wins and, like, a few bad losses.
Yeah, I mean,
really bad month was, like, half of December, and then, like, January was iffy. But the rest of the season was, you know, a lot of fun, and, you know, they got more fun, I think, as the year went along. Even though, you know, I think everybody missed Tobias and Bobby and Mike Scott. Like, losing Bradley, and to a lesser extent Gortat, helped.
Losing Bradley was really hard for me. Like, I had to get over it. It took me quite some time to kind of get over it.
Oh my god, I'm gonna be bad mouthing Avery Bradley when I'm like 80.
Yeah, you're like, you thought this basketball was bad, yeah. Grandson.
Like, my grandkid will be complaining about some player. It's like, let me tell you about Avery Bradley.
Grandpa, who's Avery Bradley? Dies immediately.
Like, I won't be remembering my own name, but I'll be remembering Avery Bradley.
Yeah. Wow, what a mark you left.
We're gonna have to probably do an entire Avery Bradley.
Oh my god. Before and after. So yeah. Bad.
But I mean, it was a great season.
Honestly, I miss Tobias, I miss Boban, I miss Mike Scott, but I got over them pretty quickly because I really loved the guys we got back in those trades.
I think the guy I miss the most is probably Mike Scott.
Mike Scott was just like a very much a Clipper, and he just didn't give a fuck. He was awesome.
He honestly might be back next year.
That'd be great.
But I think he's going to stay in Philly because he and Philly have bonded, like, incredibly. Yeah. But honestly, I'm happy for him. It's awesome.
He already said it's, like, the best atmosphere. And he hit a game winner, right? So
yeah, against the Nets. Yeah.
Yeah, so good for him. I like Mike Scott.
Yeah, no. And, I mean, I think Tobias, on the whole, has played well. Like, he's been cold shooting, but I've been impressed with his rebounding and his passing. And I think on defense, he's played Marc Gasol pretty well. So I think it's been good. I mean, Boban is just a disaster against any good team.
Tobias, they're keeping Tobias. He'll stay there. They'll sign him.
Yeah, I think so. And then, you know, former Clipper JJ Redick missing every important shot.
JJ.
This might be his last year. I think he's showing signs of decline.
I wonder how much we had to fight for Landry Shamet in the trade talks. I wonder if we had to fight for him even. Like, I wonder, I mean, because the Sixers must have seen this coming, and they must have had Shamet. He started for JJ a couple of games. Like, they must have known, like, hey, we could just play this guy instead of JJ. Like, they must have felt it, right? Like, I wonder how much we had to fight for him.
I don't know. I mean, I think at some point somebody's going to write about those trade talks because, I mean, depending on what happens in the playoffs for the Sixers, they could look really good or not very good. And the Clippers have already come out of it looking great. But, yeah. I mean, I think somebody's going to write it. I'm curious. I have no idea. My guess is he was a prerequisite.
Yeah, probably.
I think that was him and the Miami pick, and then everything else kind of built around that.
I know the Clippers had already liked him in the draft, and they had talked about it. They talked about one. Lawrence Frank pretty much went on record saying that they liked Shamet a lot even before coming into the draft. Uh-huh. So I'm sure that he was definitely somebody we wanted. But, man, that's really tough, just knowing that their situation, knowing their cap, knowing what they're going to have with Redick coming off the books. Like, it's – I wonder how much they would have – they wanted to keep him.
As Hubie Brown would call him, Riddick.
Riddick.
14 years into his career.
Hubie somebody guard Riddick. I love, you gotta guard Riddick. So good. I love him so much.
I know. Lucas and I were just talking about this.
The Hubie Ralph game was underrated, by the way. That was a fun game.
Incredible.
Yeah.
In terms of actual basketball analysis, I mean, it was much better than the Ralph Bill Walton game, which is just
Bill Walton not knowing anybody on the Clippers. Yeah. Like how do you calling Zubat Chewbacca or whatever.
Yeah, Chewy Baca. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this was the last Ralph season too.
I mean, what can you say about Ralph? He's
Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer. I'm trying to think. There's a chance that I haven't heard another person speak as many words in my life as Ralph Lawler. Like, when probably you think about parents, it, probably my parents, aside from maybe my parents. And even that, Ralph says a lot of words in a game. You know, I mean, so
if you were mathematically inclined, like we could, like 82 games, calculate and add the playoff and the preseason games, you know, find the average word count somehow through like a transcript or something, multiply it by however many years. There's a lot of words.
I'm sure my parents wouldn't be too enthused by this this calculation to ask them, how many words do you think you say on me on average, even when I was a baby? Ralph is really the voice of the Clippers, and I don't even know what it's going to be like when he's not doing games. Like, I haven't even really thought about it.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. The entire first, however long it is, most of the first year will probably be very weird. I'm extremely curious as to who the broadcast crew is, because I don't think any of the guys they tried opposite Ralph looked like full-time replacements, except maybe Corey Maggette, and who even knows what's going on.
He's not going to be in the ring. Right. So like, I don't know.
It cannot be Don McLean. Like, it just cannot be. Like, if they somehow put him, like, for a team that's really trying to rebrand and be modern, like, I just...
I wonder how much damage McLean did to himself with that whole James Harden thing.
I'm honestly happy about it because I don't want to hear him.
Yeah, I'm kind of. I want him just to be a halftime guy. I could think
he's
that's
perfect for that. He's so good with that. But like, just I cannot handle him over a full game. He just does not have the charisma or personality or anything. And Ryan Hollins is like the opposite, where like he gets excited, like legitimately, like you can tell he's like into it, which you can never really tell from McLean. But, like, what he says just makes no sense too much of the time.
Yeah, I'm not excited about Hollins
either. If you, like, combined the two of them, you might have somebody decent. But that's not really how it works. Maggette isn't coming back. It might be Brian Seaman for the play-by-play. But I would not be surprised if they went outside the box for both of them. If they tried getting somebody national. Like, the Knicks and Nets have so many good broadcasters.
They do.
You know, they could try to poach a couple from one of them.
Is Ian Eagle still doing the Nets games?
Nets. Yeah, I mean, they have really good. And Ryan, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Rocco.
Oh.
I think he's pretty good too. Ian Eagle would be awesome.
They can poach him. Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I think if they're really trying to revamp the organization and, like, really brand themselves as the number one franchise, like, they need to get a broadcast. God, I can't say it.
Broadcast. Yeah, you got it.
Broadcast crew to match.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any in-house guy. Though, I mean, they might give Brian a test run just to
see. Yeah, I mean, Brian Seaman, he did a game with Ralph earlier in the year, right? And he did pretty good. He's a play-by-play guy, so it's kind of awkward. But I'd love to give him a chance. Maybe he's going to be the guy. I think everybody's kind of assumed if it was anyone in-house, it would be him.
Yeah.
We'll see. I really don't know. I don't know what direction they're going to go with this.
But, yeah, let's do some questions.
Yeah.
So I think we have 7. Let me see here. Okay. So the first question... from Kenneth, Clips Nation writer at GT17Ken. Mm-hmm. Other than wanting the Raptors to lose for the sake of getting a shot at Kawhi, should Clips Nation have any other rooting interests? In terms of should, I don't really think so. I mean, I wrote about this a couple weeks ago. they should have been rooting for the Celtics to win. Yeah. Because that would mean Kyrie would likely stay. And them losing in five means he's out, I'm guessing. Yeah. Which means the Nets or Knicks is a pretty high probability, which means possibility of Durant leaving to there is higher. I don't really think so. I mean, as long as the Sixers are in, I think rooting for the ex-Clippers there is probably the move.
Yep.
I mean, I guess you could root for the Nuggets, winner Nuggets Blazers against the Warriors, but like I don't know if there's no real benefit to the Clippers from that. So probably just ex-Clippers on the Sixers. I mean, they want the Sixers to beat the Raptors, obviously. And then if not them, probably Bucks over Raptors. Just want the Raptors to lose. Like the next ideal outcome is like the Bucks sweeping the Raptors or something. And mm-hmm. Kawhi being like, this team has no shot at beating Giannis for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a pretty good outcome too if the Bucks just kind of handle the Raptors. Aside from that, I mean, you just want the Raptors to lose. The Warriors, I feel like KD is probably leaving regardless, even if they lose or if they win. Yeah. And maybe this game might have even made it even more likely, the fact that they won probably the hardest game of the playoffs.
Without him.
So that might give him another reason to leave. What a weird situation. It's so weird seeing Durant on the Warriors. It's just like...
It's so bizarre.
I don't know. It's just kind of a strange situation. But you got to feel like he's going to leave regardless. So there's no real rooting interest for wanting the Warriors to lose, aside from just wanting something different. The Raptors hopefully will lose. As far as like Sixers versus the Bucks, I mean, I guess just theoretically, if the Raptors won, then you would root for the Bucks. If the Raptors lost, you would root for the Sixers, and that's mostly it. And it's mostly just to root for our guys, you know, versus
But no real effect on the Clippers. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Warriors are just gonna blast whoever they play. So like, what's the point in the West?
Yeah. So next question for my dad, which is, how much is Pat Beverly reasonably worth in free agency? Can, should the Clippers keep him, and the effect of his cap hold on getting max free agent? How much is he worth? I'd say probably more to the Clippers than anybody else, but like, I would pay him like as much as it possibly takes, but I don't think he'd get more than $10 million a year in free agency.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think the Lou Williams deal is perfect for him. And if he did something like in loyalty to the Clippers, that'd be nice. But then I think we just put an article up saying that he's going to enjoy free agency a bit, and that makes me a little worried.
He's also 30 coming off a knee injury. And
yeah, but he's never really had a contract, right? Like a major contract.
Yeah.
And he was great this year, you know, and he has a lot of cachet still. So I wonder if he's going to try to get like a 10-year, like a 3-year, $10 million, like $30 million or something contract. Or I think the Clippers could still give it to him. It's then it's a matter of how patient he is as far as waiting for us to give him a deal. And
yeah,
I hope he stays, but I'm getting kind of worried.
I am too.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, I think he should look for his money. I mean, the Clippers should try to keep him if at all possible. But, like, I mean,
he should look for his money. This is his big opportunity right now.
He's I would have – if he leaves to go get a big contract somewhere else and the Clippers were not willing to match it, I would feel no ill will whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, I will love Patrick Beverly forever
after this season. Yeah, go get your money, Pat.
Go get that money.
Next question from Casey Clark. If we miss on Kawhi, what's our most realistic backup plan? Depression.
I mean, you just have to be conservative, you know? Like,
I mean, I guess the thing is, like, if you miss on Kawhi, and I'm assuming this would be KD and Kyrie as well, I mean, do you max anybody of the remaining guys?
No.
I would tend to agree. As good as Jimmy Butler's played.
No, please, no.
I just don't want him as the lone superstar. Like, the team would be very good next year.
Mm-hmm.
If they brought in Butler, like very good. But I just don't think they would still be true championship contenders unless Shea or Shamit had massive breakouts in like year two.
And I think if we brought in Butler, like they would maybe take away from Shea or Shamit having breakouts, especially Shea. I don't know, man. especially the fact that Gallo already kind of ball stops, and then we have Butler on top of that. And I don't want to bring in another guy that's a ball stopper unless he's a star, and that would be Kawhi. Really, it's Kawhi or bust, and I've already said it. Like, Kawhi, if we don't get Kawhi, and / or KD, I'm still not paying much attention to the KD, the Clippers stuff. Yeah, I don't think it can happen. But it'd be, obviously, if he comes, oh my, that's amazing, that's great. I don't think it'll happen. But if we don't get Kawhi, then I would really just do short contracts for whatever nice pieces we can get. Maybe just bring the whole team back.
If they miss out on Kawhi, you bring back Pat, you bring back JaMychal Green, you bring back Wilson Chandler, you bring back Zubats. Maybe you sign, like, you know, Rodney McGruder, and then like, that's probably your team, you know?
Yeah, maybe there'll be somebody in the cracks that we could sign to maybe either play center or I don't know. But I'm fine with Zubat as a placeholder center with Trez coming off the bench getting most of the minutes. Like, I'm okay with
that. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Next question from David Nagy. If we traded Shea, Shamet, Gallo, and 2 first-round picks, including the Miami pick for Anthony Davis, what would your reaction be? What if it was Zubats instead of Shamet? So Zubats for Shamet would not work because they need to sign him. Can't sign and trade as part of a larger deal. I guess they could sign and trade him for somebody else on the Pelicans and do a separate deal. I would not be happy. My initial reaction would be, I don't know how to say it, like fear.
Davis would need to sign right away. Like we would need like a verbal guarantee at least.
As soon as the trade would happen, he/Rich Paul would need to be like, we are going to re-sign here, like as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Or extend or whatever.
I don't know. AD is just not as, he's just so fickle. He's just kind of a worry now.
He's an amazing player, but of course. Fickle, and the injury history is a real issue. If you trade Shea, Shamet, and 2 first-round picks,
it's a lot. You're
gambling everything.
Basically. Yeah.
I mean, your only young pieces left would be Trez, Jerome, and Zubats, theoretically, if you re-sign him. But, like, if you're bringing in AD, I don't even know, like, do you even re-sign Zubats? I don't know.
Right.
All their young, I don't know. They would need to be very confident in AD re-signing and or in them getting another superstar. But initial reaction would be just anxiety.
I would also just be sad because I love those guys. I don't know if it would make my watching of the Clippers better. As much as I love Davis, and I love that. I think he's amazing. But would I have more fun watching the team next year? Even say, unless they also got Kawhi. If they got Kawhi and Davis, I mean, I guess all bets are off as far as whoever else you want to have, right? Like, if they can somehow all have Kawhi and Davis, and you pretty much trade almost virtually all the other assets for them, right? I mean, assuming we can get both, then I don't know. I'm just so attached to this Clipper team. It's hard for me to talk about this stuff, but
I at
this time last year, I was saying trade everything for Davis. I'm a little more hesitant now, but I think that's just my emotions speaking. So
probably, yeah. But I mean, I think it's legitimate to need at the very least.
Maybe we could get Drew back in that deal. That's a lot of money, though.
I don't think that would work. I think if you make that deal, you absolutely have to have a guarantee that he's re-signing.
Right.
If you have that, I think you can make it and just realize, like, you know, it could end up looking great. It could look awful. But, you know, I think then you're allowed to. If you don't have that, then.
I mean, how excited is Anthony Davis to do that even? You know, it's just like,
I don't know.
What's the point in leaving Drew Holiday to come to a Clipper team with, like, Danilo Gallinari as your next best guy?
No, Gallo would go out in the deal. It would be like,
Gallo would go out. Yeah,
it would be like Lou, Trez, and Pat, I guess.
I guess. Yeah.
Next question from Yul Han. Do you think the team will remain healthy next season, especially if we keep Gallo?
Not like this.
They were really healthy this year.
We got very, very lucky with injuries.
Yeah, they probably will not be this healthy. I mean, it's possible, but unlikely.
Yeah.
Next question from Wayne Giveaway. Both Clippers and Rockets lost in 6 games to the Dubs. Is the Clippers loss the better of the two, considering they were expected to be swept? You know, while the Rockets were the chosen ones to end the Dubs dynasty. Yeah, I mean, I think even though the Rockets played them much, much closer, like every one of those games were close. Obviously, the margin of loss is much smaller for them. Yeah, I mean, the Rockets were either supposed to take it to 7 or win.
The Rockets should have won this game.
They should have won this game. They probably should have won game 5.
Yeah, they really, I mean, the series was even and they lost Durant. You know, it was 2-2 and it was like a tie. It was practically a tie game when Durant got injured. It was very, very close at least. And they lost and they still lost the series. And I'm not so arrogant to say, hey, you know, if Durant didn't play in game 6 against the Clippers and then the Clippers would have won definitely. Who knows, you know, like if there would have been a totally different game and Curry could have gone off then too. But there's no denying the fact that Durant carried the Warriors in our series against them.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we would have beaten them in game 6 if Durant didn't play. And this was just a golden opportunity. They were up 7 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And like that's the Rockets won't forget this. And who knows, maybe they have a chance next year, you know, the KD leaves and all that jazz. But this was, Paul is going to be much worse probably next year. And this was a golden opportunity they had. So obviously, like, our loss to the Warriors, our fans were giving us a rounding ovation to close that game. And it was awesome, and that was nothing that was going to happen for the Rockets today. They were expected to win today.
The Rockets got booed on the way out.
I didn't hear it. You know, I didn't hear a boo. I heard some jeering and some, like, where are you playing next year? To a couple of the players. But I didn't hear boos, but if they would have, I wouldn't have blamed them, you know.
Yeah. And then final question from Not Olua Candy. Can we hire Vinny Del Negro as assistant to the regional manager?
God, Vinny Del Negro.
I think Vinny's days as an NBA coach are finally over. For a while, he was always in those coach rumors, you know.
Yeah.
Whenever there was a new opportunity, he would always get mentioned as a potential candidate. Like, I don't think that's happened in a year or two.
The last thing I remember Del Negro doing was saying that we would go to the Western Conference Finals when we lost to the Grizzlies on NBA TV. I remember him saying that. Yeah. And that didn't work out.
He's currently an analyst with NBA TV. I don't even remember that.
He was then. He did a couple of guest spots then. And I remember him talking us up. It wasn't against the Grizzlies. I think he was coaching us that year, I think, right? So
I mean, I'm just on his Wikipedia page and it says he's currently an analyst, but nobody's probably bothered updating this.
I think the following year, he thought that we were going to go to, like, to the Western Conference Finals.
I mean, so did a lot of Clippers fans. So
yeah, so did I. So
yeah. we're smarter than Vinny.
I was so convinced that the Clippers were going to do great things when they lost to the Thunder that year. I was like, this team's going
to
be good.
Before we leave, we need to get in some shitting on the Lakers.
Oh yeah, the Lakers are really dumb. They had a dumpster fire. And so is Clipper Daryl, by the way. What an idiot.
Yeah, no, I don't even want to talk about him. But, like, the Lakers, they're a garbage franchise right now.
They're garbage.
Okay, so my question is, and how I tied this in, do you think Vinny Del Negro is a better candidate than most of the coaches that are interviewing right now? I'd say yes.
Probably.
Like, I think I would rather have – I think Vinny Del Negro would be a better coach for the 2019-20 Lakers than Lionel Hollins, Jason Kidd, or Mike Woodson.
Vinny Del Negro wasn't bad at cultivating young talent and, like, trying to make them.
You know,
he was kind of like a player's coach in that sense, and he wasn't bad at that. It was just bad when he had title caliber players, and he probably didn't know what to do with them. But as far as, like, younger guys, I mean, Del Negro was the coach for that Bulls team that pushed the Celtics to 7, right, without Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was a young team, and they did better than you expected them to and had his ear. So, he would be okay for this team without LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, with LeBron, there's just no way LeBron would respect him.
No, he wouldn't.
But Chris, like, I mean, Chris Paul. But would LeBron respect like Mike Woodson?
I don't think so.
Or Lionel Hollins, like maybe Jason Kidd, maybe. But like, I mean, Kidd is so bad at everything else that like, the Lakers are just a tire fire. Like,
they're so bad.
Vogel is like a very mediocre NBA head coach, I think. But it wasn't that long ago. He's considered a really good one in Indiana. But he's by far the best candidate they have left. Mm. Like, that's not great. And I don't think he's going to get hired. Like, nothing indicates he's a front runner. Like, if anything, it seems like Kidd is. I so hope they hired Jason Kidd.
Man, what a mess. Huge mess.
So
Yeah.
I can be happy about that at the very least.
So. Yeah, that's really funny. They're really funny. And watching Lakers and Clipper fans like talk about each other, and Lakers talking about the rings and Clippers talking about the playoff appearances, it's also funny. But man, the Lakers are sad. I hope most Laker fans realize that they're just like a shitty franchise right now. They need to tear it down.
They had a protest today,
which and I thought it was hilarious that Clipper Darryl went there, not to give him any airtime, but he went there and talked down about the numbers when we had the LeBron parade or whatever a few years ago when LeBron was a free agent.
And he took a meeting
and Clipper Darryl was leading like a very, very sad parade for LeBron James. And
yeah, no, it's the Clippers fans should never talk about numbers in regards to Lakers fans. Yeah, like, that's the one thing they have that just dominates. I mean, even now.
Very, very silly.
So I do think that if the Lakers blow this era with LeBron and their management remains this shitty for the next 4 to 5 years, and the Clippers are able to get a superstar like Kawhi or KD, and even if they don't win a championship, like make like a couple Western Conference finals, I do think the city would shift a little bit legitimately. Yeah. Because there are definitely more Clippers fans now than there were 10 years ago.
Definitely.
Or 15 or 20. If you get add another 5 years, like, there could be kids who are, like, in high school who would never remember a good a Lakers team.
Yeah.
Like, if the Lakers aren't good for, like, the next 5 years, like, even if they make up one or two, like, playoffs as a lower-round team with LeBron, like, if they make no other noise outside of that, like, it would be a decade of them not being good. Not even
it's,
a decade.
It's like, so weird talking about them with LeBron, thinking that they might not be good. It's just like, it's so weird. I mean,
you have to think they make the playoffs next year.
Right.
I mean, they have LeBron. Their young guys will probably get better. I'm guessing the signings are on the margins will be better than they were last summer. It would be impossible for them to be any worse.
Yeah.
Like, they probably make the playoffs next year, but do I think, like, they're one of the better teams in the conference? No.
No.
You know, if the Clippers get like Kawhi or KD, they'll still easily be the better team than the Lakers. So, I hope that happens.
I hope so too.
But yeah. I mean, I think that'll be a great capper to this season when, you know, the Clippers did everything right and the Lakers did everything wrong. And I think it deserves to go that way this summer too. So, hopefully, the Clippers get somebody.
Yeah, and I think that'll do it for this episode of Lob the Gem, the podcast. Of course, I also want to thank Clips Nation and everybody listening to this pod. It's been really fun doing this pod with Rob, and it's been a great year to really follow this team. And you know, we've been doing this pod for a couple of years, but I think we built some steam this season, especially, and just it's been great covering this team with you, man. And it's been a really, really fun season. And
yeah, it's really good to talk about them. Like, I write about it, but it's fun to talk about it too. And yeah, I definitely think the pod has gotten better over the years and a little more natural. And, you know, just, yeah, we're just better at this than we used to be. We're still not very good, but
no.
And if you're still listening, like, God bless you. I think this is going to be a pretty long one. So
yeah, this is a long pod. So if you're still listening, thanks for listening. And thanks for always listening. And we always talk about leaving reviews and stuff. That'd be fun. But I'm just happy that people listen. I love Clips Nation. I remember when we got Blake and he got hurt, I remember writing a post like 9 years ago, saying, hey, should we start a Clips Nation pod? Because there's no podcast covering the Clippers and we should do something like that. And initially it was like, well, yeah, maybe we should, but it didn't pick up steam. And now we're doing this pod. And now there are many pods. There's the Clipcast pod. There's Jovan Buha's pod. There's a Locked On guys. There's a Clipper Beat pod. There's like multiple pods. I'm trying to think if I'm forgetting anybody, but those are the big pods.
All the pod. I like barely. Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. Yeah. I do this pod and I don't listen to like any pods.
I listen to those pods.
Post.
No, the Low Post is great. But I listen to a ton of basketball podcasts. I try to listen to the Clipper pods as much as I can, and they're all good. And it's really cool to see the team pick up so much momentum. Mm-hmm. And it's really great to be part of Clips Nation too. I love the community. I've loved it for years. I wrote a lot more before now. I used to write back when Steve was still running the website. I wrote a lot of the game recaps, and I love our community. It's just really great. And this season is a perfect tribute to not just, you know, the people watching them, but the people that cover the team, that really love the team, that have loved the team for years. I know we've been fans for a long, long time, and it's been a really awesome season. And we can only hope that next year is just as good, because this season, even though we were only an eighth seed and we lost in the first round, it's been the most fun I think I've had following the team maybe ever, probably, which is crazy. But it's been a great time, and you know, thanks for listening. We'll be doing pods throughout the off season, so don't worry. We'll talk about the guys a little bit more. We'll be a little more in depth as far as what we expect, and of course, you know, when July comes, we'll be doing pods like it's probably the regular season. So yeah. Anyways, so thanks for listening to us, guys. You know, as always, you know, leave reviews if you can. But thank you so much for listening. And as always, go Clippers!